Good morning.
I haven't presented a lesson in quite a while like this, that a talk. And as I was thinking about this and what I would talk about, obviously what's been on our minds for some time is just simply the topic of the pandemic. And a lot of us have been talking about this and a lot of the pain that's gone along with it. And a lot of what I have to say, obviously, is not my own thoughts, but some things that maybe in putting it together, maybe it'll help us to think about this and kind of look at this at a perspective that's a little different. You see, several weeks ago, which now seems like eternity, this COVID-19 pandemic came to our shores and, of course, has spread throughout our country. And at first, there wasn't a lot of fear, but it soon followed, even to the point that the government stepped in and ordered all large gatherings over, 10 people to cease. Social distancing became a thing. Never heard that before. Individual workspace and expansion and creative scheduling, to avoid contamination became necessary for businesses to be able to continue to operate. Toilet paper became one of the hottest items in this country. I mean, what's up with that? I mean, think about that. That's kind of crazy. Hand sanitizer became like liquid gold. And seeing people walk around wearing surgical masks all of a sudden, was normal. I mean, nobody thinks anything about that now. And of course, while this fear and preventative action was simply because what follows this virus are possible serious illness and death. People all of a sudden realize it is a threat to their lives. And, of course, what people want at that point is a cure. I mean, that's what everybody thinks about. I know I thought about that immediately. Is there going to be some kind of cure? Is there going to be some kind of, shot or something you can take, something that will either kill the virus or make us immune to its results? It's kind of funny to me how something unseen, you can't see it, has caused so many to become so very conscious of the frailty of their life. But the truth of the matter is that frailty has been far more true all along in far more many ways than people have ever really thought about. And so, in looking at this, I want to just answer a couple of questions that I think are important. The first is, why is COVID-19 here? What's the point? I mean, why is it upon us? And I think there's some reasons that are questionable that people think about. And one, it's simply China's fault. I mean, they did it. They caused it. Eat bats or something like that, I heard, and they got it from there. And then it came to people, and now it's spread throughout the world. So I understand the reasoning. And in a sense, there's some truth to it, but that's not the real answer. The coronavirus has been around for a long time. I mean, they have it, I think, even immunization for dogs and maybe other animals already. They've had it for years. And so it didn't begin in China, although maybe the affecting of humans started there. But I think a far more difficult and far more hazardous thought is that it's simply God's fault. People think that. This is God's fault. And, I understand there's a problem with evil in this world in relationship to a totally powerful, all-loving God. I understand that. And so people wonder about that, and they're not sure how, this could all happen and God allowed this to happen or whatever. I'm not going to address that particular issue because I think that's for a sermon, really, that needs to be preached in the near future when we get a chance to talk about the relationship of evil to God and his nature. But I think a more common thought about it for those who believe in God is God punishing us and the world for our evil. I've heard people say that's what this is. This is God's punishment. And again, I understand that. I've thought about that. These things come to my mind. Is this just to tell the world, look, straighten up, change your ways? I get that. But the problem with that, it makes God the culprit for this suffering and death. And I'm not ready to lower that charge against God without further evidence that no one here on earth has. That's the problem. It's just not here, and that's an assumption. And you better be careful when you make that kind of statement. The only real reason, the only sure reason, is that our world is damaged goods. It's broken, folks. That's why this is here. That's why so many things happen. This world is broken simply because of the fact that the first man and woman chose to listen to Satan over God, their Creator, and rebelled against His command. Just one. He said, He told them, you can eat everything else, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that's in the midst of the garden, you cannot eat. And of course, God said, if you do, you will die. And Satan said, oh no, if you do, you will not die. And of course, the passage we read this morning in Genesis chapter 3, beginning verse 1, you know, you see those kinds of things because Satan comes and he talks to the woman. And it says in verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But Satan said to the woman, you will not surely die. By adding one word, he called God a liar who created mankind. And he sought to destroy all the good that God had done in creation. Just by adding one word, he changed it all. And of course, Eve was tempted. And Eve chose to believe Satan. And she ate of the fruit. And she talked to her husband Adam. And he listened to her, therefore listening to Satan as well. And he ate. Both being tempted by Satan. And both choosing to reject God's word. And so the result of that was that sin came into the world and it came in carrying the curse of toil and pain and ultimately death that we see so clearly even still today. For in Genesis 3 and verse 13, I want you to notice, now he's already talked to the man and says, what have you done? But notice now beginning in verse 13, he says, and the Lord said to the woman, why have you done this? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Now notice what follows beginning in verse 16. To the woman he said, I will multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children. Yet your desire shall be for your husband and he will rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, say, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall, will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you. And you will eat of the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread. Till you return to the ground. Because from it you were taken. For you are dust. And to dust you shall return. And so all these passages show that all that we're facing now, whether it be the virus or anything else, is Satan's fault for doing the tempting and humanity's fault for choosing to believe Satan over God, the one who created them. Satan and mankind's sin broke this world. That's what happened. And thus, I will tell you, the real pandemic is not the coronavirus, and it never has been. The real pandemic of this world is the fact that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as Romans 3 and verse 23 says, and the wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and verse 23. That's the pandemic. And so the question then follows, well, what's the cure? What's the cure? You see, from the time of the first sin of Adam and Eve, when they listened to Satan, God has been telling us that there is a cure. He started even then as he talked to the serpent in Genesis 3 and verse 15. In other words, as he was talking to Satan, and he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head
and you shall bruise his heel. In this passage, God was speaking of the struggle that was to follow between Satan and God, and how his coming servant, one particular man, of course, as he talks about here, notice the he and his. There's one man that's going to come. He's the Messiah, the Christ, and he will be one born of woman. And the heel of his foot would be wounded by Satan, of course, which is not a fatal wound, while God's Christ would fatally wound Satan on the head. And so from that time on, God has told us of the world's brokenness and how his Christ is the answer for Satan's sin and the curse with its pain, its strivings, its death from disease, its death from natural disasters, and the ravaging of our bodies by age and all the other things. And my friends, God continually pleads with his creation to believe him and to accept his cure. Of course, in order for that to happen, this requires that we refuse to listen to Satan's lies concerning, you know, the ills of our society and how he has the cure and all those temptations along that line that come to us every day. You know, it's amazing to me. Would anyone believe, now think about this, would anyone believe the real answer for COVID-19 is for the foremost expert on this virus to stand before the world without the slightest authority of science or investigation or study behind his or her words and simply say, you shall surely not die from this virus? And that's it. That's the cure. And yet, though people think that would be crazy. I mean, I know. If we heard that, it's nuts. What does he say? So just because he says you will not surely die, that's it. No, we would think to accept such a statement, such a blatant lie as the cure, would be crazy. And yet, people continue to believe an even greater, more sinister lie of Satan, that sin will not kill them. That it will not bring suffering, pain, and eternal death in hell. And once that lie is accepted, people spend their lives searching for the cure of this curse in the temporal fleeting things of this earth, in the form of its pleasures, its treasures, and its power, holding on to a hope that is false and momentary, and a sense of happiness and security that is fleeting. This is done despite Christ's exhortation concerning this in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, where he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Only in heaven, folks, understand. Only in heaven can our treasures be secure. That's the only place they cannot be taken from us. And I will say to you, if what we have seen and faced in the devastation of the recent tornadoes and in the death brought about by the coronavirus, if that doesn't help you see that your treasures must be laid up in heaven, what's it going to take to cause that to happen? Before it's too late. Because one day you will know. But before it's too late. So I exhort you, with God our Creator, to believe His cure, His answer. And that is that Jesus is the only cure for sin's curse. Jesus Himself said in John 6:35, beginning there, He said, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And then in verse 47, he goes on and says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your father ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And one last passage. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14 and then verse 16 on through 18. Here Paul reminds us, he says, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with him into his presence. And so in verse 16 he says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not, notice this, verse 18, as we look not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are not seen or unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And so I'll conclude this morning by simply saying that all that we see now and all that we have seen throughout history with all the joy but also the pain and suffering, it's all going to pass away along with the world itself. It's all going. It's transient. It's temporal. And the answer is not in that which is temporal, that which is decaying, the things of this world, but in Jesus. God's cure for sin and its curse of suffering, hopelessness, death, and eternal punishment. So I encourage you this morning to learn the lessons of these trials and know that the only choice you have in finding life, in finding hope, in finding true happiness amidst this world of sin and suffering is to choose Jesus the Christ to be your Savior. To put your trust in Him, to turn from your sins, to choose to confess Him with your mouth and with your life, and to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and learn to live faithfully according to His Word as He teaches you this morning. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak to you of the gospel of Jesus Christ.